The first reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, and can be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, and can also be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Bill McCartney, not Paul McCartney, that was a Beatle. Bill McCartney was coach for the Colorado University Buffalo football team for many years. He was a man on a mission. In fact, he was a man on such a mission that he led the CU Buffs to 3 conference titles, consecutive conference titles in the Big 8, and then also 1 national title while he was there. He was also a man on a mission for God because in 1990, Bill McCartney was the person who founded Promise Keepers, a national men's movement to help men connect better with God in connecting through vital relationships with each other and in their families, having them keep their promises as parents, keep their promises as husbands, keep their promises as men towards Christ. And years ago, McCartney was being interviewed about all this success that he had brought about for Promise Keepers and his efforts for the church and for Jesus. And his response was, "I'm just an ordinary guy with an extraordinary God." Other people have used that phrase since. There's even a book published about 10 years ago or so. But as far as I know, he is the first person that made that phrase. And what an incredible testimony. "I'm just an ordinary guy with an extraordinary God." It's very well said. I mean, God is awesome. He's extraordinary. He's praiseworthy. He's worthy of our honor and our blessings and our glory. God has given us then of himself too his precious gift of the gospel of Jesus. He has placed in each of us the forgiveness of sins and the ability to share the good news of Christ, to know that we belong to God. The text we have today tells us, as Paul puts it, that this treasure that God has given us, though, is in something rather plain, if you will. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, really, he's talking specifically at this point to those who are, and about those who are proclaiming the gospel. Ministers, pastors, if you will. But it applies to really any of us as we share this good news of Christ. We are jars of clay, but within us is something wonderful. We have a few clay pots sitting in the windowsill of our kitchen. Simple clay pots, just plain ordinary, the reddish clay pot. Nothing spectacular about it. But one of them has an orchid in it that's covered in the roots almost all around that thing. And that orchid's bloomed, I believe we're on our 8th or 9th bloom now for that as far as seasons. Something fantastic in an ordinary clay pot. That's the Word of God for us. The Word of God comes into us and is within each of us. Without that Word of God, nothing really spectacular worth praising. But with that Word of God, a treasure is inside. As we enter into the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday this Wednesday, we enter into the opportunity to have those great suppers beforehand. That's a goal. Be here for the suppers. But the whole season of Lent is going to be a great opportunity for us to connect to God on a different level, looking through His Gospel, John's Gospel, and walking with Him through the life of Christ, if you will. In that midst, it's going to help us to understand, hopefully, our relationship better with this Jesus who, come Easter, we will celebrate the resurrection of. And not just what He has done for us, but how we can continue to live with and for Him in this life. And it's a us thing. It's not just a pastor preaching to the congregation thing for you to do. It's for me to do also. This applies to everybody, clergy and laity. We're all in this together. And to help you understand that, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Normally I talk about, in general, our sins, the struggles we face, problems we deal with, but I'm going to point some fingers a certain direction today at pastors, because pastors are part of this role, but they're not the sole part of this role. That's the direction our text was going in talking about ministers, but we're all ministers of this gospel, and so to recognize where pastors sometimes get it wrong or can be accused of getting it wrong, perhaps, we need to understand that we are all the same. Pastors are not spiritual supermen. They are just not spiritual supermen in any way, shape, or form. They have the same struggles and same sins. They are not stronger than church alligators. They're not faster than the local church gossip. They're not able to leap the expectations of the congregation in a single bound. It just doesn't work. They're clay pots with clay heads, clay hands, clay feet, and they struggle, just like everyone else does. And they are sinful, just as everyone else is. In fact, sometimes the sins are even greater on those that are serving in the church, I would say, because there are some unique sins that those in the church face versus being a member of a congregation and a follower of Christ face. Some unique things that the clergy have to deal with, indeed. And as Paul even notes it, he words in there that we are hard-pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. That's where we find ourselves sometimes. As pastors or laity, we feel that the more we follow God, or the more we try to follow God, the more the devil is against us. And we face these temptations. I mentioned in Bible study, I remember when I was younger, I'd look at my pastors and I thought, these guys don't sin as much as everybody else do. Then I got to be the pastor of one of my pastors years later and found out the stories. Wow. Pastors sin? Well, my kids, confirmands, they don't have any delusions. They know me, so there's not a problem there. They know I'm a sinful person, just like everyone else, just like their parents. But we try, and we forgive each other, and we continue on, and we try and live for the Lord. But we are hard-pressed sometimes on every side, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, the more we try and preach this Word of God. And the devil knows if he can strike the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. And how true that is, where congregations have fallen apart because of some problem that took place with a pastor, where a pastor was a sinful person in other ways than just our everyday struggles with the faith and living in this world. And when something comes up, some major problem appears, the congregations shake and tremble and sometimes fall apart. And pastors fall because of sometimes their own elevating of themselves, because sometimes they get too high and mighty for themselves. They preach about themselves, perhaps, too, instead of the Word of God. And the pastors tumble and fall. Sometimes the pastors are doing the right things, the best that they're able. But the best that they're able to do those right things isn't good enough. And so there are some times when folks might gather for a little roast pastor for lunch after church. Some folks even get it on the way home along with a bucket of chicken. You know, we'll roast the pastor now. We don't have to get the oven on it. We can talk about the things going on now. And the problem there is they've forgotten that it's not the clay pot. It's the treasure that we need to have the focus on. And the pastors that go astray have forgotten also that it's not about the pot. It's not about them. It's about the treasure and the Word of God that they have to share. And so whether pastors or laity, we get it wrong. But the devil does know that if he can bring down those who are seeking to lead others, then the followers are going to go all kinds of different directions. I had a chain letter that I received many, many, many years ago, and I've kept these words because I just thought them valuable. I want to share them with you again today. Perhaps you've heard this before, but it's a chain letter dealing with the perfect pastor. The perfect pastor preaches exactly 15 minutes, then sits down. He condemns sin harshly, but he never makes anyone upset. He works from 3 a.m. to midnight and is also the janitor. He makes $50 a week, wears good clothes, drives a fine car, buys good books, and gives $50 a week to the church. He is 28 years old with 30 years of experience. He is tall and short, slender and fat, hair parted down the middle, one half dark and curly, the other blonde and straight. He has a burning desire to spend all of his time with the youth and works constantly with the senior citizens. The perfect pastor makes 15 calls on folks a day and is never out of the office. If your pastor does not measure up, remember I told you this is a chain letter. If your pastor does not measure up, simply send this letter to 6 other parishes that are tired of their pastors too. Then bundle up your pastor and send him to the church at the top of the list. In 1 week, you will receive 1,643 pastors. And one should be a dandy. Have faith in this letter and don't break the chain. One church broke it, and they got their old pastor back. Before you play pick on the pastor, keep in mind that, as the words of our text talk about, it's the ministry that is important. It is the word that is important, not the clay vessel that it comes in. Pastors, like everyone else, deal with clay heads, clay hands, and clay feet. There is no such thing as clergy and laity, just clayity. We are together, and God is within us. And we share this Word of God, this all-surpassing power of God, as Paul puts it. He directs our attention away from the clay pot and to the treasure within it. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ and ourselves as His servants for Jesus' sake. Pastors share an eternal treasure, the gospel of Jesus. The words, we preach Christ, should always be a guide for every pastor. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is always to be the content of the preaching, as Paul says, even in Corinthians. I am determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And yet there are many pastors that go astray from that truth and forget about preaching Jesus all the time and get into prosperity gospel or get into the influence and impact that people make on their ministries and through their ministries and make it about what they are doing. The things we are doing are very important, but it's only because of Christ within us that we are able to do them. It's not about the clay pots. We're going to send a team to Belize again this year. We've got a meeting Tuesday night. If you are interested, call the church for more information. But we are going down there. They're all clay pots that are going to be on this trip. But it's going to be the Word of God that is within them that brings the message to the people in Belize. It's about the Word. It's always about the Word. Martin Luther wrote this prayer concerning clergy in particular, but I think it applies to not just pastors, the way I read it, but to everyone who would share the gospel, to Sunday school teachers, to the devotional leaders, to parents in a family raising children in the ways of the Lord, to all of us. Martin Luther wrote, "Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor in thy church, a teacher in thy church. Thou seest how I am unfit to administer this great and responsible office, and that if I had been without your counsel and aid, I would surely have ruined it long ago. Therefore, I do invoke thee. How gladly I desire to yield and consecrate my heart and my mouth to this ministry. I desire to teach the congregation. I too desire ever to learn and keep thy word as my constant companion and to meditate thereupon earnestly. Use me as thy instrument to thy service. Only do not forsake me, for if I am left to myself, I shall certainly bring it to all destruction." The Word of God is inside of you as much as it is inside of me. We have a little different way that we go about this way and walk in the world to bring that Word out and how we will be able to bring that Word out. But we are all clay pots and we all have the treasure of Christ inside. We all need to continue to grow in the Word and we all need to recognize that without this treasure, there's not much to us. And we're not fit to administer this great treasure. Why would you put such a great treasure in a clay pot? And yet we break and we chip and we crack and we stain and the treasure remains just as beautiful as it ever was. We are all clay pots, but with a treasure inside. Every one of us a clay pot, but with a treasure inside. We're all in this together. And really, what can I say? We're just ordinary people, but with an extraordinary God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.